Will you join me in our prayer of illumination so we can hear God's word for us today? Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I invite you to pull your hymnal out and turn to page 771. We're going to hear Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10, but we're going to read it responsively together. And so I'm going to invite you to say the words in the bold type. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. O Lord, humans and animals you save. O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John. I invite you to stand as you are able in body or spirit as we read from the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." And Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Friends, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and most holy God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for these words, those of the psalmist and from the gospel according to John. On this day when we think about water, the source of life, help us hear from you new words of hope and encouragement. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So water is important for life, right? Like, we can't function without the gift of water. We can go without food, but we cannot go, you know, for a longer period of time than we can without water. Otherwise, our bodies begin to shut down, right? For those of you who are my scientists, aren't we like over 70% water comprised? Like, it is most of what we are made of, and that is water. But when we think about water as it relates to our place of faith, particularly in the Gospel according to John, where the whole emphasis on the Gospel of John is really about signs that lead to belief. Meaning, are we paying attention to the things that help us in our faith to believe in the goodness and the good news of Jesus? And so with that in context, and as we journey between now and the beginning of Lent, we are going to experience some of the firsts in Jesus' ministry following his baptism and eventually leading to the whole, to Lent and the wilderness and all of that. And this is the first sign in the Gospel of John where Jesus performs a miracle. Sometimes we say in passing, oh my gosh, that was a miracle, right? Have y'all ever used that terminology of like something that's so astounding that it could not have been because of human action, but of something beyond ourselves, like we can't believe that it could actually happen, and it did. And this is no different, right? They're at this party, it's actually a wedding, and they serve wine because that is customary. But I'm sure it's a pretty big crowd if Jesus and his mother and his disciples were all invited. Like, it was a big gathering of people in celebration. And of course, the wine runs out. So let me ask you this question. If you are at a party and the hors d'oeuvres run out, or the main course runs out, or there are no more beverages to consume, what do you do? Huh?
Go to the store.
Go to the store maybe to get more, right? You know, as a party goer, that might be your indication that maybe the party is over, right? It's time to go home. There's no more things. Or as the host, you might think, oh my gosh, I either planned poorly or this got way more than I had anticipated, right? Or thank goodness things ran out, so now I can send everybody home. Am I right? Or is that okay? But in this case, at this party, right? Like, Jesus's mom recognizes that the party wasn't over yet. And something needed to be done in order for the guests to still be taken care of. And who does she go to? She goes to her son Jesus and says, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Now, I actually thought about this a little bit because I was reflecting on a conversation with my daughter, Kate. And last night, she's home for the weekend, and she came and she looked at me and she's like, Mom, I'm out of contacts. And I looked at her and I said, you're out of contacts? And she's like, yeah, like I have one pair left. And I'm like, okay. Now, usually that would put me in a train of things of like, okay, where's her script? Let me go ahead and order her some. When was her last eye exam? You know, how quickly can I get them? Because that's how I interpreted that statement, right? Of like, oh, well, you said this, which means I have to do all of these things in action to make something happen with what you just said, right? But I didn't. I just kind of looked at her. I was like, huh, okay. And then I realized that sometimes when we speak to each other, there's implied action when we say a statement. You know, I'm looking across the room and I can say probably with 100% confidence that if someone says to you, man, the trash is full. Translate means the trash is full, will you please take it out? Right? But if it doesn't go out, but we haven't said that, then you've basically said a statement, the trash is full. Be like, yeah, it's full. Right? Do you see the difference there about statements as a statement versus a statement with implied action that you're expecting it to follow? I'm seeing some giggles because I'm suspecting that you're like, man, are you watching in our houses to know? Or, hey, the dishwasher is clean. What does that mean? Can you unload the dishwasher and put the dirty dishes in it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that thing of like, oh man, we're running out of toilet paper. can you go to the store and buy more? I do not understand why we aren't more direct with what it is that we're asking or what we're needing. Do you know what I mean? Instead, we're expecting whoever we're talking to immediately understand what we're saying, even though we really haven't said anything except something really obvious, right? And in this case, Jesus' mom does the same thing. She looks at him and she's like, they're out of wine. And he's like, well, what does that have to do with me? What do you want me to do about it? She doesn't even wait for his answer. She basically turns and looks at the servants and says, do whatever he tells you, fully expecting that Jesus is going to do something. And here's the thing, in talking in conversation with some of my lectionary friends this week, we thought that at this point, Jesus' mom is probably pretty aware of what Jesus is capable of. That yes, he was baptized in the river by John. At this point, he has disciples. Let that sink in. He's at this party with disciples, meaning that people are already paying attention to what Jesus is doing. And as Jesus' mom, I suspect she has a pretty good idea of what he's capable of. And she's tapping into that in this instance. But he's telling her it's not time yet. But she doesn't respond to that. She says, do whatever he tells you. Now, I remember preaching this in divinity school, not knowing anything or awareness of that, and I embodied the scripture, right, where I am taking the place of the people. Here's Jesus' mom. Jesus, they're out of wine. What do you want me to do about that, right? I'm just here for the party. And then she's over here being like, hey, do whatever he tells you. There's something about this surety and concrete way that she knew something was going to happen. And she leaves him to it. And Jesus goes into action. And we get this behind the scene look of, okay, you see those jugs over there? I'm going to need you to fill them up with water. Because those were the jugs used for purification, that you would have been washed, prepared to come into the presence, either in that party or for worship. Those were jugs that were holy space for water to work within the body. Now, these aren't little pitchers. Think about what 20 to 30 gallons is. Think about your 5-gallon buckets that you get at the hardware stores. And you fill that up. It's about 40 pounds for 5 gallons of water. Multiply that by 2 or 3 or 4. It would have taken a lot of people to take each jug to fill those up and bring them back. And it wasn't a quick process. It was one that took time and intentionality and careful movement and orchestration. Now, I don't know if there were enough people that they could take all 6 at the same time, or if they would have had to take them 1 at a time. But are you getting the sense that this wasn't an immediate thing that happened? That there was this transitional period of time where they needed to prepare for what Jesus was going to do. And once all that water was gathered in that space, that is when Jesus did the miracle of changing that water into wine and then said, take it to the guests, let them try. Only to discover that it was better than what had been served at first. Right? Like you saved the best for last. And as I'm thinking about that and in our life of faith, sometimes we are like those empty vessels where we so desperately needed to be filled with water or with hope or with grace or with comfort or encouragement. And it may take a while to get that filled to overflowing, right? And I think for us in the life of discipleship, that's similar. It is not an instantaneous thing that happens in our lives. It is one that happens over time and with intentionality and with carefulness and with God's grace. And as I think about you saved the best for last, we're getting this glimpse in the Gospel of John about how Jesus is the best for us. Because the time had not been orchestrated yet, a promise of the psalmist that the spring of light was coming, that the light was coming, that now the time had truly come for us to see Jesus in his fullness as Son of God and Son of Man, and that in and of itself would have transformative powers, not only over water into wine, but of individual into a disciple. From a servant into a follower willing to do the work of God. For us today, as we gather here, we are reminded that sometimes we are called to do something. And just as I said, the trash is full. We can either say, yeah, or we can take what's implied there and do the work to make it different. Right? And sometimes when we say, Jesus is the Son of God, that this truth is for you, you may say, yep. Or you may say, I want to get to know you more. Pour into me the water of life. Pour into me that transformative power of God's grace. Pour into me, Jesus, the love of God. And then I'm going to go out and I'm going to share that best with all I come into contact with. Jesus is the true source of life, the spring of life, and the power of living water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.